All right, folks. Sorry about that. Trying to get a thing to work on here. It's not working. So anyway, my name is Mark, Landing Crew Wheeler, and I'd like to welcome y'all to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. Today, we're going to have a little fun. Talk about something that is very near and dear to my heart. And that is taking kids fishing. Have you take them out fishing in the kayak? What age? Also, have you ever taken your kids fishing, period? Or friends' kids? You know, any of those things. Is always a good thing. You know, taking kids fishing is, you know, what fishing as an adult is all about. Spreading the knowledge, spreading the fun. All right. We got callers here, so let's see here. We've got area code 603. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark, it's Greg. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Oh, a little tired, but holding out, holding in there pretty well.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
got to go fishing last night, so I'm working on about 2 hours of sleep right now, so plus a full day of work after fishing, so...
Oh, yeah. I know those days very, very well.
Exactly.
Cool, man. Cool. And also we have...
You're making me tired.
You know
you
that
start
voice...
yawning. I'll try not to.
Y'all know that voice. That's Tree Hugger, Chip Gibson, host of the Thursday Night Kayak Fishing Radio Show. How you doing, Chip?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So... Sorry that you're having problems with the new switchboard, but they're still working the bugs out of it. I think it'll be good once they get it full. It's just a beta test right now, so.
Oh, of course. But,
I'll send them a message and let them know that your chat's not there, so.
Yeah, I'm bouncing in between the two.
All right. Sounds like a good subject, man. I'll be listening in.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got my kids out this past weekend, and, you know, it was an absolute blast for everyone involved. Granted, it wasn't on the kayak, but when you got a 2 and a 5-year-old, or 2 and a 4-year-old, excuse me, taking them on a kayak is a little sketchy. So, all right. Usually, we'll start with the fishing reports. I can only give you all one from the Chesapeake Bay. My phone's on the fritz, so basically... Well, folks, you're looking at, you know, the swing of things to come. You know, the cove you're in, all around the Bay Bridge Tunnel, you know, chum them up. A lot of menhaden chum works wonders, along with the Spanish mackerel. Guys, if you can paddle out to, this is the Lower Bay, by the way. If you can paddle out to Cape Henry, troll around a little Gotcha Plug or Clark Spoon, You'll get into them. Also, you know, the Spaniards are all along the ocean front. So, you know, a little bit of work. If you got a Hobie, you know, you're all set. If not, you're going to be a little tired at the end of the day working against the current sometimes. Look for the clean water for those Spanish. That's what they're liking. What else? Flounder bite is really good. Really, really good right now. You're going to get into some flounder. If you know, fish around the pine lines of the Bay Bridge Tunnel, you're going to do well. The big black drum are schooling around the islands. So, you know, they'll be there. If you can give them a bite, I think they're in their spawning period, so they're pretty much lockjawed on that. And, of course, you know, the red drum are there around Fisherman's Island and the Fourth Island. You can get into them around there, too. What else? What else? You know, bluefish are always around. Spot and croaker, as many as you want. You know, make your own little sabiki rig. You can have a blast with that. I heard of some puppy drum being caught in Lynn Haven, also in Rudy Inlet. Speckled trout bite is insane right now, for whatever reason. When I took my kids fishing, it seemed like every other cast we were pulling in a, you know, not you know, keeper size speck, but you know, a speck nonetheless, and also some great trout. A lot of baby gray trout were caught, and I was fishing down in Sandbridge. And, I mean, just every other fish was like, oh, my God, that's a great trout. Oh, my God, that's a great trout. I mean, I had old-timers that were like, man, this is like back when, you know, 10, 15 years ago when they were catching great trout all the time. So, very good thing to see. So, anyway, that's my Lower Bay report for y'all. Of course, if you are listening in on the Kayak Fishing Radio new website, we had the Nothing Miller on, but his commandant came home a little early and sounded the alarm. Yes, folks, the alarm. The wife is home. The wife is home. So, all know how that works. Duck and cover. Sorry, I just had to enjoy a adult libation. All right. Let's check who's in the chat room right now. We've got Chip, of course. We've got Big Fly Reel. What's going on, buddy? Good to see you on here. Get calling, man. Oh, and folks, if you need to call in, the phone number is area code 714-816-4727. Again, that's 714-816-4727. Come on and call in and, talk to me, tell me a story, give me a fishing report, sit down, relax, and enjoy one with me. Because to tell you the truth, I'm enjoying two right now, so. All right. First time listener, Big Fly Reel. All right, man. Cool. Of course, we always load the first time listeners. Always a blast. And of course, Hammerhead, Greg Crisp is on the chat room. And also we have three now guests. Welcome, guests. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Again, to call in, it's 714-816-4727. All right. So let's get to the topic at hand. Oh, hang on. Let me take a step back. So, Greg, how'd you do last night, man?
Did okay. Managed one striper, about 30 inches.
Nice.
Right off the bat. Saw a lot of fish. They just weren't biting. When the sun came up, you could see them. I must have thrown everything in the tackle box at them. And they were lockjawed. So, but I did manage to get one. Missed a picture of it because it shook loose as I was dragging it into the boat. So, unfortunately for Kayak Wars, we won't get those points. But, it was good. Getting out in the middle of the week and getting out on the water, you can't miss those opportunities. So,
yeah,
it was a perfect night. Overcast.
Ooh.
66 degrees. The water temperatures up here is now in the 70s.
Wow.
And, there wasn't an ounce of wind. It was glass calm last night.
Yeah.
So.
that makes, and I remember fishing back home, striper fishing when it was absolutely calm was kind of difficult. But, a good darter, a yellow darter, always worked well, or a needlefish imitation at night. Oh man. That Chip, I don't know if I'll post a picture on Yak Angler of a needlefish imitation bait, but it's this long, slender, pretty much like a pencil almost. And you cast this thing out in the middle of the night and you can feel, the line skipping off your finger, really fast, and also when it slows down and then there's no stop. So you close the bail and you just slowly reel it in. And when it hits the bottom, you feel it tick. So you, speed up a little bit. And, man, I mean, it just glides through the water. And when a fish hits it, and they hit it hard, dude, it is just an absolute freaking freak out. Because, you're half asleep when they hit it anyway. And it's just, oh, whew, I got to stop.
Sounds like fun. I'm not afraid.
What's that?
Sounds like fun. I'm not afraid.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Wow. All right. Wow. I got a full house in here, pretty much. In the chat room, we've got Big Fly Reel. We've got Fish and Chef. Robbie, what's going on, brother? we have Mr. Greg Brownlee. Sir, first time. All right, man. Welcome. Of course, two guests, 30781 and 31524. And Mr. Jeff Madre. What's going on, Jeff? Of course, guys, if you want to call in, 714-816-4727. You know, call in, guys. Have fun. You know, that's what it's all about. All right. So, Chip, did you get out this weekend, man?
No, dude. We're working on getting another bike for the wifey there. So she's like a little kid at Christmas, and so we've been working on that. And she's stepping up from her Sportster to a street glide. So
nice.
Yeah. So we've been working on that, and then the clone was doing motorcycle school. He does, you know, some dirt bike riding and stuff. He's not old enough to get on the streets by himself yet, but we were going to get some lunch, and the clone was out riding, but it was me and the wife, and we got hit in the rear by a taxi driver. So,
oh no.
Yeah, so it knocked the back end off of the Jeep and messed up the trailer hitch. So we're working on it. We should have that back up and running on Friday of this week, and we'll be back in the swing, try to get back out. Yeah, so bummer, but, you know, we'll get back out there. More fish for you guys to catch.
Yeah, you know, I think you're the only Georgia guy. I noticed that Mr. Greg Brownlee is from Charleston, South Carolina, most likely a scuba Stan friend or from
those
one
of them,
the other
right?
places. Yeah. Yeah, at least.
We'll probably hopefully see him at our Chucktown Boondoggle coming up
in
October.
Chucktown Boondoggle at, refresh my memory, Chip. Which campsite will we be at?
Well, we're not quite sure if it's going to be Edisto Beach or Mount Pleasant. Scuba Stan is supposed to be working on, that's Stanley Tripp. He's supposed to be working on doing some recon and stuff, but one of the two will be fine, and it's Columbus Day weekend, which is the weekend of, I believe it's October 10th. So that'll be the Chucktown Boondoggle. The folks from YakAngler.com and Kayak Fishing Radio will have stickers and all kinds of fun stuff. And I think Scuba Stan said that they do have a adequate supply of the unofficial brew of Kayak Fishing Radio. That would be our Sweetwater Brewery Special.
Yes. So, actually, that's what I'm drinking right now, and it's wonderful.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. We've got, of course, folks, we have a lot of 757s around here, so we're going to go with the first three of your phone number, and that is 771. You are on the air.
Hey, Mark, it's Robbie. What's going on, man?
Hey, Fishing Chef. What's going on, man? We hit the wrong button. All right, Robbie, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. You got me?
Yeah, I got you. Hey, man, what's going on?
Nothing. I actually went out today. I fished Rudy and Lynn Haven.
All right. Give us a report, man.
Yeah, this morning I hit Rudy, went under a bridge, fished with chicken on a chain, caught four flounder right off the bat. They are about 14 inches, though. Came back in over to the Navy docks, trolling with the chicken on chain, and caught a 12-inch trout. After lunch, I shot over to Lynn Haven. The wind picked up pretty bad, so I was fighting the wind and the current at the same time, and only picked up a small croaker, and that was about it. So,
you still got on some fish. That's good, man.
Yeah, at least I didn't get skunked, so I'm stoked.
Yeah, man, definitely. And folks, if you're wondering what the chicken on the chain is, basically Saltwater Assassin came out with a soft plastic coloration that is, in my eyes, one of the best imitations of a gudgeon, mummachug, saltwater minnow out there. And if you ever look at you know, many of the live baits that many of us will use, that saltwater minnow has those spotty lines in it and spots all over it with a white belly. And if you look at the tail, right at the very end of the tail there is a little bit of a chartreuse coloration, and that's the same thing with this bait, and it is absolute, I barely use anything else now. You know, and it's just and my go-to bait all the time. And I like to see that people have been are getting gut hooked by the chicken on the chain craze. Thank you, Charlie Polachek, for getting me on that.
I'm going to throw in there that I found a Mr. Twister with like a, it looks like a mud minnow, and it's got the groove in it, like a twitch bait.
Nice.
So you can rig it with like a 4 or 5-aught worm hook.
Right.
Rig it nice and weedless, and they have it in the chicken on a chain color.
Nice.
Got a couple of bags of that, so.
That's, you know, if you're going for reds or trout, flounder, that absolutely is a killer. I actually caught a Citation croaker about, I want to say, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe a little longer, a little farther back, on a 4-inch curly tail chicken on a chain. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. So, all right. Let's.
I think Robbie had some more he wanted to say.
Yeah, Robbie, go ahead, man.
Yeah, well, I was just going to comment on what you were saying about chicken on a chain. You know, I swore about gulps. You know, that's because every time I used a gulp and threw it out, I'd get something. And when you turn me on to chicken on a chain, that same exact thing. Yeah, it's like every time I threw it out today, I had something on. And, you know, it wasn't just one species. You know, I've hit 3 different species a day with the same bait.
Right.
So that is definitely something I'm going to start carrying in my arsenal on a regular basis. One thing I did want to say is I might be saying it wrong. Is it the Atlantic Bait and Tackle?
Mark? Right there off of Virginia Beach Boulevard?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Well, they're having trouble even keeping it in. It's going out the door so fast that the curly tail, he's having a hard time keeping it in. So.
Well, there's a reason for that. Atlantic Baiting Tackle, folks, is a brand new tackle shop that just opened, I'm going to say a month and a half ago, maybe, in Virginia Beach, right off of Virginia Beach Boulevard, about a mile down, mile east of Rosemont. Folks, it's owned by Tony. I know him as Tony Divefish from all the websites. An absolute great guy. Really nice store. Definitely check him out. Great prices. And the only guy that carries chicken on a chain. Now, here's a problem with that. I know when they come in. So what I do is I go in there on the day that they have them. And buy them out. I actually stopped doing that because I got to let other people try it. But yeah, I mean, you know, support, you know, your local bait and tackle shops, folks. Can't say that enough. Little side note, Greg Brownlee, if you have a chance, man, or Scuba Stan's on the chat room now. Cool. Greg or Mr. Ray, post up your fishing reports, man, or anything up on the chat room. Be more than willing to tell it to the world. So, all right. Now, I think we've got, I think every last one of us here on the live show have children, clones, in the on Chip's case, and Greg's got his own little infantry battalion going on.
Yep.
And Robbie's got a couple, one or two kids, and I've got two. So we've got a pretty good panel of child experts here to go over, you know. And I know Scuba Stan, hey, what's going on, Scuba? Has chitlins, with, and his kid has one of the coolest names out there, folks. His kid's first name's Tide. I mean, I'm so jealous. If I wanted to be, I can already hear the, you know, the alarms coming out of my wife's ears if I even mentioned naming my kid Tide. But you know, taking your kids fishing. You know, we're gonna go right down the line. You know, we're gonna start off with our first memories of our kid going fishing with us and catching a fish. Chip, I know you've talked about you and the clone going fishing all the time, man.
Oh man, yeah. The clone was. I retired out of Corps in 2001, so I had been on a tour there as instructor down in Pensacola, and of course, when you live in Florida, you should have a boat, and but I had a walk around, a Proline 21-foot walk around, and the clone was just 18 months old, and we'd take him out and he started fishing. I mean, we put the rod and rod holder, an old 209 pin level wind, stick that baby in a rod holder, showed him how to use the little lever, you know, he dropped the bait down and reel it back up, drop it down, reel it up. Every other time, you know, snapper or something. He's got about a 20-pound king to his credit there. I think he was about 2.5 when he caught that.
Very nice.
But yeah, and he started kayak fishing at, I guess it was about, let's see, he'll be 13 in January. So he's been kayak fishing since he was 9. He started off in that Mini X, and you know,
right.
He's kind of a big kid. Don't know where he gets that from, but he can handle that. And, I mean, he spent a month in the swimming pool with it. So, you know, I knew he could get in and out of it, you know, and his balance and everything on it. He can hang 10 on it like a surfboard and stuff. But yeah, so he's been kayak fishing since he was 9. But he's been, I mean, you live around the water all the time and stuff. So, I mean, when he was a year old, we took him to the YMCA and to put him in the little water baby class and stuff. So he's like a fish. He's very comfortable. He's a, if I were to classify him, he's a WSQ, man. he's an instructor. So
yeah.
You can tie his hands and feet, throw him in the water, and he can live.
Nice. Very cool. Do you remember his first fish?
Yeah, it was probably, I mean, it was a red snapper, probably about a 3-pounder, and I think I got a picture of him and Pop there with him sitting in the back of the boat. I'll have to see if I can dig that one up and put it up on the web page. But yeah, he was a proud little guy, man. So
oh, probably
big
proud,
old red snapper,
proud dad too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's our legacy, man. That's, you know, you got to pass it on. Get everybody as sick as you can. You know, it's an addiction, it's an affliction, and you got to pass that disease on to everybody.
Oh, yeah. All right. Next up is Greg. I know you've got your own little platoon of chitlins. Do you remember, you know, your kids' first fish, and, you know, where were you fishing them, and where they're at now?
Both of them, trying to remember back to the the real first fish they got. I'm pretty sure both of them were when we were fishing at my father's place up on Lake George, New York.
Ooh.
You know, and they were probably, I want to say my older son was 4 and my younger son may have been about 3 when they caught their first fish. And ironically, the first fish that sticks in my mind was with my older son. We didn't have any bait. We just went down to the dock and just put a little twin tail grub on a hook, and he just dropped it straight down off the dock and picked up like a 15-inch bass.
Nice.
And it was just like, you know, and it's one of those, you know, I wasn't expecting to catch anything, you know, didn't have any equipment except a that grub and a rod, but he wanted to get out there and go fishing, so we went down to the dock and didn't have a camera or anything. It was just like, didn't expect to catch a thing off the dock that day. The water was, it was right after ice out, you know, just the wrong conditions, but yet there was a bass sitting right under the dock, and
of course
just ate that thing. And you know, needless to say, he was proud, I was proud, and you know, it's great to pass it on. You know, I got the bug from my grandparents and parents when, you know, I was 3-4 years old. So got to keep passing it along.
Of course. You know, and then that's, you know, that really sinks home for me is, you know, the remembering those that got you in there. You know, I've got pictures of my grandfather, you know, with me on the beach out at, oh, man, what beach would that have been? Democrat Point, probably, on Long Island. Sitting there, and there's he's holding on to this big 11-foot, you know, surf rod, and I'm, you know, maybe knee high, maybe a little less than that, just cranking away, you know. Then, you know, every other picture of him is, you know, he never really took a lot of pictures, but when he did, when he was in the picture, you know, next to, you know, whenever we had fish, you know, one of us was holding a fish or he was holding the fish for us, he had the biggest smile. You know, and that sticks out in my mind is, you know, having those people that got you fishing and got you, you know, a serious sickness for this sport, you know, and hopefully my kids and my grandkids down the line will say the same thing. So, all right, now Greg, or excuse me, Robbie, down the line, here we go, taking a step down. You know, have you taken? You have a daughter, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Little girl. She's 6. She'll be 7 in October. Been started her out, I guess, 3 summers ago out at Lynn Haven. That's the reason I got into it. I ended up buying a canoe where I could put her in, and, you know, throw in a canoe, take her out to Lynn Haven, put her on the sandbars out there on low tide. And we'd fish off of that. She actually hooked up with probably about a 21-inch redfish. Was yeah. And actually, believe it or not, that was the first redfish I, you know, assisted in. And so, I mean, I was hooked after that, and so was she. But she's kind of slacking off of it now. You know, she goes every once in a while, but not as much as she used to. So,
yeah.
But, you know, we got a long time to go, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Cool. All right. Well, this past weekend, I found my son and I have been fishing for a while now. Back when I used to live in San Diego, we used to fish the Oceanside Pier, and I got him catching greenback mackerel. And, boy, I mean, some of the pictures I have of him, smile from ear to ear. And, you know, always ask him when to go fish and when to go fishing. And finally this weekend I got him and my daughter out to Sandbridge Pier in Southern Virginia Beach. Really nice little pier, very comfortable. And got them both, well, my daughter, she's fearless. I mean, she'd sit there and she, after one or two times of missing a fish, and, you know, like, okay, set the hook here. And she's only 2. I'm sitting there and she's holding on the rod, sitting in a chair. And that rod tip starts bouncing. I don't even have to say it. She just kind of leans back and just starts reeling. And I'm just, guys, I have to tell you, my smile was touching behind my head. I was so proud of her. She reeled that sucker in, pulled it up. I unhooked it, and then she reached out for it. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, do I really want to hand her this croaker? That, you know, that's all we were catching was croaker and spot. And she started, you know, looking at me like, you know, come on, Dad. So I handed her the croaker, I mean, you know, maybe a 6-inch croaker, and she is squealing and having the greatest time. And I was like, all right, put them back. She walked right over to that rail and dropped them in and said goodbye and went right back to looking at me and holding the fish around, asking me to cast it out again. Y'all, that was, that is something I will never forget. Never, ever, ever forget. And, you know, it's, you know, I think I can vouch for every last guy here or, you know, someone who has children, who has taken them fishing, the joy of you know, having their kid catch a fish is something that we will never forget, ever, 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 ever forget. So, all right, little uplifting, you know, moments here. And give me a second, I've got to find it. Little, yes, a little ah moment. All right. So now that we've gone over, you know, our kids' first fish and you know, everything else, let's talk about, you know, the kayak side. Your kids maybe, let's say, between 9 and 11 years old, they keep begging, "Dad, Mom, I want to kayak with you. I want to go out and kayak with you. You know, let me get a kayak." Let me get a roundtable discussion here on what would be the best kid kayak and what would you start them off with, you know, along with some other things. But before we do that, we've got area code 843. You are on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
What's going on?
My name's Greg. I'm in your chat room.
Yes, Greg. Welcome, man.
Hey, I'm down here in Charleston.
Awesome, awesome.
I'm new to the sport, and okay. In fact, I haven't even got my kayak yet. I discovered your website when I was Googling kayak fishing, and I've been looking to get a kayak for a couple of years now. It seemed like every okay. time I get ready to drop the hammer on one, something comes up. But I have a question about. I wanted to find out what you guys fish with. It seems like a lot of the guys around here, and I don't know if it's because the local store sells Wilderness Systems and some of these other brands. It seems like everybody around here has that, but I just wanted to find out what you guys would recommend for a guy's first boat.
Well, we got to start off with this. You know, I can mention I'm a Wilder guy, Wilderness Systems guy. Greg and Chip are more of your Malibu guys. And that's what they own. I think Robbie owns a Native. So you're going to get every last one of us to say, go Wilderness, go Malibu, go Native, go Ocean Kayak. But the best
thing
to do...
Get to a demo day.
Yeah, get to a demo day. Or get, you know, there are a lot of great websites out there. I know Scuba Stan will be more than willing to, you know, Jeff Madre, you know, he's in a Ride 135, you know, and he's
that's
fishing.
That's one brand I was looking at.
Yep, and that's what I fish out of, too.
Yeah,
but, you know.
It's just like, it seems like there's just so many kayaks, and for somebody looking to get into it, it's just like you're getting hammered from left and right. You know, it seemed like most of the videos you see on YouTube, and I go on the internet and research, and it seemed like you see a lot of videos, ocean kayak, and of course, the guy that's got the kayak fishing show, he's out of Ocean Kayak, and
that's Jim Sammons.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim got me into the sport, so
yeah,
I got to give him a shout out.
Yeah, they look like nice boats and stuff, and the ones that I've seen, like at West Marine and stuff, they look like they're pretty well built and stuff. But there's just so many choices, and
right.
I think it just gets to a point where you have to settle. But you talk about the Ride. That's one of the boats I was looking at. The Native Manta Ray 14 was another one. I'm kind of a big guy. I go about 250 easily, and
okay.
so I'm looking for something that would, accommodate a guy my size and stuff. But my question for the guy who owns the Ride is it a good paddling boat? I know it's not going to win any speed races. Looking at the pontoon shaped hull, but that was one thing. I'm not looking for something that paddles too slow, but I'm not out to win any races either. I'm just kind of looking for something a little in between, a little stability as well
right.
as a little bit of speed.
Well, I paddle the Ride also, so you're
okay.
talking to another Ride aficionado. If you're just starting off, have you ever paddled a kayak before?
Yeah, it's been a while. I
okay.
think last time I did it, I was about half my size, and it
right.
was a sit and stop.
Well, I can keep up with most people. I'm about your same size. If I have, and the biggest thing is, you know, good paddling technique. There's some great books out there. That will, Jeff, definitely call in, man. great books out there that, explain the paddling technique. There are courses you can take. But to be truthfully honest, you know, the ride is a great starter boat. You're not going to be, smoking, the competition or anything like that. But, if you're just starting off, it's a great way to learn and to get comfortable with the sport. Now, on the same thing as Wilderness, we have the Tarpons, which are a little bit more, stable. I'm not talking like a huge difference, but, just enough that you can go, ooh, I can feel, a little bit more tip, is a little more tip to it. But they're a little faster. And personally, if you're fishing out of Charleston, you'd be fishing, in the bays and inlets and stuff like that. I wouldn't go any smaller than the 140. And that's a great kayak. That's actually going to be my next boat. And of course, still paddling the ride here and there. I mean, to give you an idea on the stability of the ride. I mean, I stand up when I bass fish, my butt barely touches the seat. I'm always standing and pitching, flipping jigs, and things like that. And Stan rode Timeout Sports. Is that the one you were at?
Yes.
All right, with Dolphin Dave. All right.
Yeah. In fact, I'm gonna in the next week or two, I'm going to demo a couple of the boats I was interested in. Because there's. I just don't want to buy one without trying it out. And they got a couple for rental. I think they got a ride and they got a manta ray. And so me and a buddy were going to go rent them both at the same time and go out and paddle them and see which one I like and stuff. But I just wanted to kind of get your idea about what y'all fish out of and stuff.
Right.
It looks like a great
Jeff
activity.
In here now, and you got Jeff in and... Robbie can talk about a manta ray. He's got one of them. So
now, for that boat, or even the manta ray or the ride, what's the importance of having or not having a rudder?
Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're on the air, man. Sorry.
No worries.
I use the rudder when you have a lot of wind. It's really good for that. And if you're also not going directly into the swell, but if the swell's hitting you, especially from the rear, you'll have a tendency to cock sideways to the swell, and you'll have to do a lot of corrective paddling on one side. With the rudder, it does away with that. And in wind or in swell, you can pretty much paddle just alternating strokes and use the rudder to control your direction, and that way you're not wearing one shoulder out. It also comes in handy. I fish around Diamond Shoals quite a bit, up tight against the shoals, and you have to kind of keep your head spinning around all the time because you never know when a 6-foot wave is going to come break on a shallow piece of sand around you. And you'll hear them start to break, and sometimes you'll kick the rudder real hard and put the nose back that way and just start paddling into the wave so you can get over it before it breaks. And it comes in really handy then to be able to spin the boat around quickly if you're, somewhere in a confused sea and around the shoal. But probably the biggest advantage is in the wind.
Okay.
Yeah. I find the same thing in my ride. Is I started off paddling that thing without a rudder, and I got by. But, to keep it... if I was doing a drift to keep it running straight, it took a little bit of work. The rudder is definitely a nice accompaniment to your arsenal, if that makes any sense. It's not a need, but it's a nice little thing to have when you need it, when you really need it.
You can do without it, but once you have one, you won't want to do without it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. What size is paddle length determined by the size of the person or by the size of the boat?
Both. If you're sitting in like a commander or the native ultimates, you're going to want a slightly shorter paddle, I think. Shorter or longer. And if you know, anyone can jump in if to correct me. But usually the best thing you do is go down to a local shop where that's all they do all day long is they fit people out with, you know, PFDs and paddles and stuff like that. And they'll be like, okay, well, you're going to be fishing out of this boat, right? Yep. All right, hold your arms out. Okay, you know, what feels comfortable? Okay. Well, you know, we'll go with the 240, you know, centimeter for paddle. And, you know, and that's the best way to do it until you really start to understand, you know, paddle lengths. And of course, you know, I've got three paddles, you know, that I use. I've got a really long one that I use as my bass fishing one, and that one I use for poling and you know, while I'm standing up so I can get a little deeper dig, you know. And I've got another one as my secondary and my main one. So, but yeah, you definitely, and I'm going to really stress, I can't stress this enough, find some people or find a demo day, rent a couple of kayaks, try out a couple of kayaks, and from all different companies and all different styles. And the moment you sit in yours, in a kayak, and you start paddling out, you'll be like, ooh, this might be my kayak. Spend at least 20, 30 minutes in the thing. Really rock it. You know, feel it out. And, you know, after 30 minutes, if you go, man, I'm still comfortable. I'm not, you know, a frozen crab on this thing. This might be my kayak. That's when you can make your decision. But, you know, I recommend this for anyone. Don't go blindly out there and just buy a kayak because it's, you know, it's all, got a sale tag for $350.
That's why we all have six in our backyards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was walking through one of the local stores, you know, the big box stores in the area, and I was looking around, and I was, you know, I was like, well, you know, I can get something like, you know, this, you know, $399 kayak, but I'll probably end up regretting it, and that it can be like $300 I could spend on a fish finder or something like that. But
right,
I just don't want to buy something and then just like be miserable. So I want to get a, you know, something good right off the bat. I've had that experience in other things before, you know, as far as like buying guns and things like that. You end up wishing you had bought the Benelli instead of the Remington 1100.
Right.
And stuff. So I'm just trying to do it right. And I'm going to try to get out.
If you're buying Benellis, you need a Hobie, man.
Yeah. Chip made a very good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I got the thing about the Hobie is I've got a bad knee. And, I don't see being very happy pedaling around.
Here's the cool thing. We've got a doctor up here in Virginia Beach that he's a physical therapy specialist. He recommend, and this is his part of his therapy, is having people go out in the local waters in the lakes and stuff like that, and using the pedal drive system of a Hobie. He says it is the perfect motion with enough resistance, because you can stop and coast and relax and, you know, keep going. You know, if it gets too bad, okay. You know, then you can grab a paddle and paddle your way back in. But he says it's great. I was just talking to him the other day. It's Dr. Dave. I'm trying to find his paperwork right now. Dr. Dave some. I'll find it for next week. But
Let me jump in real quick. Here's another thing, too. You know, I don't think we have any little people on the phone tonight. We're all some big old guys. I've got a head that has its own gravity field around it. So, that's probably one of the first things you need to look at. You need to look at what the weight carrying capacity of the boat is. And I mean, my first boat was a Cobra Fish and Dive because it could handle it. It'll carry 600 pounds. I mean, I'm a 250 guy, and it's fine. You get something in like Hammerhead, who is also on the line. He had some issues.
Yep.
What was your first boat that you got, Greg?
My first boat was a Prowler 13.
Yeah, and how deep did the gunnels go in once you got on it?
Exactly. It was it's a great boat. It's well made. It's, you know, there was nothing wrong with it, but I got it on a, you know, a great sale, and, you know, it was a great price, and I picked it up, and it served me for a couple of years, but it kept me from being able to get out in the ocean because it wasn't comfortable for me in the rough water because I couldn't pull the scupper plugs out without
right.
the thing, you know, filling with 2 inches of water.
Yeah, and so that's the first thing. You can initially eliminate a lot of boats. I mean, you're not going to – the smallest boat that I'm comfortable in rough water. Now, that's the other thing, too. We didn't really ask you, are you planning on fishing offshore, inshore, and, you know, the sounds and stuff? And, I mean, are you going to be fishing freshwater impoundments, you know, like backwater stuff?
I'm going to be doing a little bit of everything.
You're going to do it all,
right? In fact,
I
wish I had it right now because the kings are past the breakers right now.
So you're going to want something that's going to be able to handle some rough water. So you're going to be looking for at least a 14-foot boat that can hold, you know, 400 to 600 pounds, because that keeps you up out of the water, and it's a little more comfortable, a little bit drier, and also with a longer boat too, you could start off without a rudder and be able to handle it more. I mean, you'll probably eventually want to put a rudder on, but, you know, you're talking, that's a $200 option to stick on a boat. And I don't have a rudder on any of my boats. I've got a Cobra, I've got Ocean kayaks, I've got Malibus, and I got something else out there. Yeah. But so those are, you can eliminate a lot of boats already. I'll throw in something too on the paddle. I've got some trick shoulders, so, and upper back issues, and I got tired of hitting my knuckles on the gunwale all the time when I'm trying to get the paddle in and get a good bite. So I have a 270-centimeter paddle. Don't be afraid to go long on a paddle. And you'll have to have have the paddle custom made to get it that long. But you're not talking a lot. It's I think I paid $135 for mine. But,
and it's pretty.
Yeah, it's all tie-dyed on the end and stuff like that. So, and then if I'm going to get out of here and let the host take it back over. But we've got shows Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Show up, talk to everybody. You see Scuba Stan in the chat room there. He's local to you. You can get a hold of him. He's a harbor master over there at Charleston Harbor. And he's just getting into it. We're going to be in Charleston for a boondoggle. That's what we get together, and we call them boondoggles. We're going to have the Chucktown boondoggle on Columbus Day come out. Well, somebody will have an extra boat. I usually carry at least one extra boat. So if you don't have a boat by then, we'll put you in a boat and take you out. But And check out yakangler.com. Great bunch of guys there. We all hang out there when we're not talking on the radio. And then you've got some other guys up and down the coast. I'm in Atlanta. My show's on Thursday night. I'm Chip Gibson. But the Mid-Atlantic guy there that's talking to you most is Landing Crew, and Mark and Jeff and Scoob Stan and Rob Choi, and all those guys are more than happy to work you up and get you in and get you out fishing and show you how to do it. So good luck to you, and hope to hear from you again. I'm going to back out of here, Mark.
All right, not a problem.
Okay, guys,
thanks,
I appreciate all your help. And
yeah,
thanks,
man,
for talking.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring on Scuba Stan. What's going on, brother?
What's going on? How is everybody tonight?
Doing good, doing good. We've got a fellow Charlestonian. Actually, he just dropped out. Nuts.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm actually putting the yak in on Monday to do some exploring of the Copahee Sound area, and I was wanting to see if you wanted to tag along.
Yeah, he doesn't have a kayak just yet, but he's on the prowl. So,
well, I've got a tandem, a Tarpon 13T that he's welcome to take out.
All right, cool, and you. if he's still in the chat room, hang on 1 second. I'm jumping between the two or three things. He
sure.
jumped all the way off. If you're listening there, Greg, Mr. Brownlee, definitely get a hold of Scuba Stan. Scuba Stan, you can be found on Yak Angler?
Yes, Yak Angler, Facebook under Stanley Tripp Jones, also Charleston Harbor Marina.
There you go, man. Get a hold of us, of Stan. Yeah, right there. I mean, look at what you did. You just got yourself a fishing buddy already. Awesome. That's so much fun.
And we're probably like somewhere the same. We're both like learning, so it'll be good for us.
Yeah, bounce, and that's a great thing about taking someone else with you who's just starting off. Is they go, hey, you know what? I found if I don't lift my arm way up high when I go to paddle, and I just extend it straight out like I'm punching. I use a lot less energy, and I actually, it's more streamlined. Oh, really? Hey, let me try that. Oh, yeah, that's right. And that's, that's definitely a great thing. All right. Let's see here. Where did we leave off? I'm so confused. Welcome, Mr. Eric Harrison, to the chat room. Welcome, sir. Jeff, it was an absolute – hey, Jeff hung up also. Jeff, it was a great pleasure talking to you. Get your Facebook updates all the time. Keep them up, brother. Great job, man. Awesome. What else? We've got a bunch of guests. Guests, remember, you can call in. Yes, you can call in and talk to me and my wonderful voice and my wonderful guests, Dan, Greg, and Robbie, as I almost spilled my drink. That would be a party foul. But, folks, that phone number is 714-816-4727. Give me a ringy dingy and we'll chat up a little bit. Enjoy a little liquid libation. But all right. Let's get back to the point at hand, and that was kayaks for kids. And I'm just going to throw out a couple of, kayaks that I've personally seen that work great. And every company seems to have, their own. Malibu has the Mini X. That's a great starter boat. Wilderness has the Tarpon 100, which is a 10-foot. He's having some connectivity issues. Greg Brownlee, not a problem, brother. The Tarpon 100 is a great starter boat for kids. Along with Ocean Kayak, had some small ones. Fish and Chef Rob had to take off. Rob, you have a great night, man. Call me sometime. We'll go fishing, man.
Sounds good. Y'all take care.
You too, man. Bye. All right. As I just said, folks, I have a caller. Here we go. Area code 781. You are on the air.
Yeah. Hey, this is Eric Harrison. I'm also known as Slappy on the in the fishing world.
Nice,
and,
man. Welcome.
I was just listening to you guys talking about picking your kayak, and I brought up the idea that there's just a lot of regional choices, and like what works great in one area, not so great in another. I generally fish out of my Hobie, and I think I'd be nervous about doing surf launches in a Hobie. But I do a lot of rip fishing, and doing the rips in a paddle kayak can be rough, especially when you're in those 2 to 3 mile per hour rips where you're literally pedaling and fishing at the same time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that was just kind of my commentary on that. I enjoy fishing the Hobie, but I also like the paddle for other situations, especially freshwater.
Yeah, and that's a nice thing about the sport is, you're not dropping 30 G's on a single boat. You can save your pennies and, buy yourself a nice boat, for a little over a G. If you want to go insane, you get one of those pro anglers for 2.5. But even still, that's chump change. I mean, boaters, spend 3 G's on just gas alone.
For their gas money, we pick up a second kayak.
Exactly, or five. trip.
I only have two. I keep it light.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, kids kayaks. I mean, you don't have to go crazy. You know, I would not recommend. Would not recommend a sit inside kayak. I just, you know, there's a reason they call them sinks. And putting my kid inside a sit inside. I mean, granted, there's nothing wrong with them. My personal opinion, and remember, folks, this is my personal opinion. I just don't would want to put my kid inside them. Why? Because if they got a little overzealous, and I know my kids, and that's the biggest thing, folks. Know your kids. If you go, oh my, you know, my son who's 11 years old and is only 4 feet tall and weighs less than, you know, 50 pounds, he's not going to be able to paddle a 14-foot boat without you having to drag him home. You know, nor do I want, you know, Mongo, my, you know, 6 foot, 225-pound 10-year-old, paddling a 10-foot boat. And it's all relative. And knowing your kids is the biggest thing. I know with my kids, I wouldn't want to put them inside a sit-inside. Why? Because they like to move. And they start swaying back and forth. And if they roll that thing, my biggest worry is they wouldn't be able to get out or have a situation. And that's the last thing I want to have happen. So, Native makes a great kid starter boat. I think theirs is actually 10 feet also. Really light boat. Great for, you know, starting kids up. And, of course, you know, the rest of the companies have them out there. You know, Greg, I know you've got a couple of boats yourself for your kids. You know, which one do you have, man?
Well, I got two kids in boats now. The older one got my hand-me-down Prowler 13, and he is 10 years old, but he's pretty big for 10. He's, for the most part, a head taller than everyone in his class, and he does a pretty good job paddling the Prowler 13. It's a nice, fast boat. It's narrow. It's only 28 or 29 inches wide. So he has a little issue now and then with a real strong wind, but other than that, he's comfortable paddling it. And then for my younger son, who is just turned 7, we put him in a bunch of kayaks at a demo day and ended up going with the, believe it's the make is the Feel Free, the company that makes the Mokins, but I believe
right.
It's called their Ride model, because it was narrow. Once again, it's only, I think, 27 inches wide, so it's a really narrow boat where a lot of the 8 to 10 foot boats like the Mini X and stuff were over 30 inches wide, and
yeah.
His arms just weren't wide enough to paddle it. All he would do was bust his knuckles. So, you know, we found this one, and it's cool. It's got a wheel in the back, so, you know, he thinks, you know, he's carrying his own weight because he can, you know, drag the thing to the launch himself.
Well, of course.
And, you know, it's a good boat. And, you know, he's a little young to paddle. He gets tired real easy. So when we go out, you know, I always have a tow strap for him, so he doesn't have to paddle all the way.
Right.
And on Father's Day, we were going out for a while to go fishing, and that's one reason I have chose the Malibu last year was the gator seat up front. So when we went out on Father's Day, he sat up in the gator hatch seat and was able to fish all day and basically trolled around a lot while I paddled for him and ended up catching the biggest bass of the day. So that was
that's
a good
usually
thing.
How it works.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I've already, you know, kind of started looking for kayaks for my kids. And, you know, that's one thing. Nothing over 12 feet, you know, 10 at the most. Nice and stable, but fast, where they don't have to use a lot of energy to get the thing going, and it has to track well. Last thing I want to have them happening is, you know, have their left arm, you know, start to get tired, and they start digging with their right, And now they're doing, you know, counterclockwise circles in the water. That's the last thing I need. You know, because then they lose interest and, you know, leave a bad taste in their mouth. You know, plus, you know, like you said, toe strap is key. Because when the last thing you want to have happen is be 20 minutes in the thing and they're paddling, and all of a sudden you hear behind you, "I'm tired." And you don't have anything to tow them in. And it turns into a really either long day or a very short day. Toe straps are key. And also, the piece de resistance. The piece de resistance. Lots of drinks and snacks. I can't stress that enough. If you've got those gummy worms or little things that keep, you know, keep them happy and hydrated and fed, you're golden, you know. Find a nice shady spot for an hour or two, camp out for a little bit, eat lunch and relax. Man, your kids will want to go out every day. Mr. Eric Harrison asked, what do your kids wear on the sit-on-tops? From experience? Oh, Eric, you're on the line. What the hell?
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Feel free.
No, I'm just wondering what other folks are having their kids wear. I'm making the decision right now between I'm going to get a tandem, and I'm either going to get a sit on top or a sit in. And I took my 9-year-old out in a borrowed sit in, and we had a great time. And he really got into it. Loved catching fish, and you know, likes it when he can outfish Dad. And I'm not really sure what to put him in for the sit on tops. I mean, I know you guys have some warmer water, but when our water gets warm, that means that it's hitting the upper 50s and into the low 60s, which can be pretty brutal if you're in shorts.
Yeah.
Even in the peak of summer, I'm not wearing shorts when I'm kayaking here.
That's tough because I can't say personally. And that's my thing is, you know, I guess in Europe, in Maine area.
I mean,
you know,
in Massachusetts. Yeah.
Massachusetts,
Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, man, boy. I can't say personally because I know I would only take my kids in fair, warm weather where I could, if they start getting, you know, anxious, I can let them jump out. And, of course, I can't say this enough. PFDs, PFD, PFD, PFD. PFD, hang on for the chat room. PFD. And I'm going to keep doing that until I get tired.
And I also see the comment about moving.
What's that?
Jeff Madre commented that he'd move.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to deal with the cold weather clothes.
But yeah,
But
it's only... It's only cold like 10 months of the year here.
Oh, yeah, only 10 months. Pair of, real thin, breathable waders, is what I would do.
I went out looking for waders for him, and unfortunately couldn't find them at Cabela's when I was in there.
Yeah,
so I think you'd probably have to order them online.
Yeah.
Eric, I picked up a pair for my son last year to go fly fishing with him at Bass Pro Shops, and they were pretty cheap. They were like $40 for a set of lightweight, breathable waders, and they even had stocking foot ones, so I could buy the boots separately because luckily he can wear the waders a second season, but he couldn't wear the boots again this season.
Right. Yeah, I'm on the Kokatat pro staff, but they don't really have much in the way kid sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll have to talk to them, see what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
help
of course.
Help those dads out.
Yeah. And, I don't know if we hit it yet, but, PFDs for kids. folks, I can't.
Yeah, that's one of those rules that the kids have to learn early, is that you don't get in a kayak without a PFD on.
Yeah, and set the example. You know, even if it's 100 degrees,
wait,
I still
wear
my PFD, like 100 degrees. It gets warm down here, y'all. I know it's 100 degrees down here, but for Eric and Greg, it's like, maybe 45 degrees up there. They still got snow on the ground.
I went out last night with just dry pants and a short sleeve shirt on, so that was a beautiful night.
Heat wave.
Yeah.
the PFD, it will save your life. It will keep your head out of the water. And you will be, if the worst ever happened. Folks, and I'm never saying that, you'll fall in, you always hear it, guy, worked as a fisherman for 50 years, never had any problem doing, wearing, not having a, whammy dine on his, cool guy, and something happens, one of those freak things, and he dies or gets maimed, because he didn't have his whammy dine with his cool guy, and, folks, don't get complacent. Wear your PFD always. I don't go out without it. Truthfully honest, I get out of my truck. First thing that I do, I don't unstrap my kayak. I don't do anything. I grab my PFD, and I put it on, zip it up, and it's there. This way, I leave the ramp without it, and when I get back in the truck at the end of the day, it's the last thing that comes off, too. So, wear your PFD. And there are a lot of great sizes for kids out there. Bass Pro has great ones. Many of your local paddle shops will have kid sizes. Even check out your local stores. Support the little guy too. Shop around. You might be pleasantly surprised. And of course, I've got to say it. No fish pictures without PFDs. If you're going to post a fish picture, set the example, folks. I don't do it. I know Chip doesn't do it. I know a lot of people that are saying, hey, you look on these websites and you see all these pictures of people holding these fish and they're not wearing a PFD. Really? People, set the example. Please, set the example. Wear your PFD, and if you take a picture, flaunt it. I'd have no problems wearing a bright pink PFD. And you can quote me on that, Chip. I know you're going to probably post or come back on the radio show going, ho, ho, I'm going to find you a hot pink PFD. I'd wear it. And I wear it with pride. Why? Because I know I'm not going to drown. Ha, 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 ha. And yes, I can drive with mine, Chip. Yes, I can. I'm a safety guru when it comes to kayak fishing, and I'm probably people going, really? He's still talking about it? But yes, I still have to talk about it. PFDs, please. Last thing I want to do is have to stop fishing because I have to fish your dead butt out of the water. But anyway, set the example. Please, set the example, folks. Take it on you. Jeff Madre posted a great one. Camp Moore has some great PFDs at a nice price. And most likely he pulled up, the hot pink one. Ooh, I like it. I might have to pick mine up or have someone pick one up for me. my wife would just look at me weird. But definitely, folks, and PFDs. If you don't just go out and buy a PFD and hand it to your kid, take them with you, let them shop around, let them find one that's comfortable on them. 9 times out of 10, kids will see the bright one with all the sweet stuff on it, but you put them on it and they're fidgeting, like they just can't seem to get comfortable. Get one that fits them, please. So, all right. So we've talked about safety. I think we've barely hit safety. And Greg asked a great question on the chat room. Is a kayak-specific PFD necessary, or can one wear a regular angler PFD? Yes, you can get away with the angler PFD. But for comfort reasons, you definitely want the high back kayak specific. For kids, I'm going with the old school style. I'm not worried about comfort for them when it comes down to that something like that. 9 times out of 10, their back doesn't hit the backrest. They've still got you know spring in their step. I don't. So you know, if you can find a paddling model for your kids, that's great. But you know, 9 times out of 10, you just get a regular style for your kids. What was I just gonna say? Oh, you know, let's talk about tackle. You know, are you gonna give your kids 5 or 6 rods and you know a full crate, or do like I know a lot of people do? Hand the kid 1 rod, maybe a small little flambeau. We've all had them when we were kids, or fish with them the little 6x6, you know, 2-sided tackle box that they can put in between the legs and not have to worry about anything else. You know, what's your thoughts, Greg?
Well, I, you know, my kids have a little tackle box that they've put together over the years that basically I don't let them take it out on the kayak with them because I'm pretty sure they'll just dump the whole thing in the water.
Right.
So, you know, when we go out on the kayaks, I take, you know, one of my little tackle trays, you know, 6,500 tackle tray and say, you know, pick what you want to take with you. And, you know, that's what you get to take with you that day.
Nice.
And, you know, they get 1 rod. I normally, when I go out with the kids, I'll take 2 rods of mine. And if something's working, you know, I have enough tackle that if I find out, you know, when we were out on Father's Day, we were throwing Rapalas and the crappies were just destroying little perch-colored Rapalas. Luckily, I had 3 of them in my bag, so I could, I tied one onto the kids and the kids got to throw Rapalas for crappie all day, you know, and they were stoked because they didn't just have to sit there with bait. They got to cast and crank and, you know, eventually my youngest son picked up a 15-inch bass on it.
Right.
So, you know, that's sort of, you got to keep it simple for the kids. They're going to get tangled up in everything. Trick is not to get frustrated and, you know, enjoy the time with them.
Yeah. And, Mr. Harrison, you could have spoken up, and I'll let you say what you just tagged in on the chat room.
How about the self-inflating PFTs? You know, I hear a lot of guys using those things, and that always scares me because, you know, the whole reason that you're putting on this PFT is just in case an accident happens, you know, an unforeseen circumstance, and you don't want to deal with either having to inflate your PFD when you go overboard or, worse yet, have your PFD go off at an inopportune time. So I just, you know, a regular PFD, it's like a seatbelt. You wear it, you get used to it, and you don't even notice it again. I feel right. Naked in my kayak without it.
Yeah. And, you know, They're for emergencies, folks, not convenience, as he put it. And
yeah.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. I'm actually going to have that.
Other...
I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead. For emergencies, not convenience.
One of the other things about a kid's PFD is many of them have a loop on the back that's designed as a grab loop. So that if
right.
your kid does go over the side, it's part of how you have them back into the boat. So that's the other part is making sure that it's properly fastened on them. If they have a like a crutch strap on there, that's properly fastened and all the buckles are buckled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your kid's much more likely to go over than you are, and you know part of it's just teaching them how to behave and going out and practicing with the kid.
Definitely. And, you know, when I go out, cause I actually take my PFD with me when I go on my buddy's boats a lot. And they're always looking at me weird, like, what are you doing? And then I show them on my left side. I've actually taken some military-grade 550 cord, and anyone who's been in the military knows what I'm talking about. I took the 550 cord, and I took about maybe 10-foot section of it. And at the very end, I have a little carabiner. And I had that actually kind of tied up with a little bit of those little twisty ties you get from the bag of Weymouthdine bread. Because, you know, Weymouthdine bread is a bread for you. And that's just in case we go overboard. Because the last thing you want to have happen is you go overboard and, you know, there's your buddy, and you're next to each other, and you turn around, you turn back, he's gone. Is you can go ahead and snap that to his PFD or have him hold on to it. And there's a little safety precaution, a little tip for you folks. Definitely that. While we're talking about tackle, I have to give a shout out to YakDaddy.net, home of the slider. Folks, this is a great thing for kids. We have the mini slider. I'm part of the pro staff there. And let me take a second and post that up on the chat room. The mini slider keeps everything in front of you. So this way, you know, you give them a little tackle box when they get a little older. They're not trying to reach around, you know, behind them to find gear or rods or anything else. And, you know, keeps everything in front of them, basically. And that is key. You know, you don't have to worry about them, you know, hurting themselves, trying to reach behind themselves. If that makes any sense. And the mini slider is basically the main slider. And go on this website, YakDaddy.net, home of the slider. And the mini slider is basically a rod holder. You put a Scotty or Ram mount on there, or you get it plain and add whatever you want to it, and you can basically use it, you know, to push the rod forward and back. So the kid can, if he's fishing, he can, you know, when he wants to put it down, he just reaches up, pulls that thing down, pushes it back up. He wants to jump in the water, pushes all the way towards the bow, jumps in, no problem. You know, and it's a great little toy. The slider, folks, if you're looking at, if you have bad shoulders or backs or anything like that, the slider is key. I mean, you're not trying to reach behind yourself to grab your gear. Everything's in front of you. And actually, when you go to check out, this just in from YakDaddy.net. I got to find the sound thingy. There we go. Hang on 1 second. This just in, you can save up to 10% off when you go to YakDaddy.net and order a slider by putting in promo code Wheeler. Smiley face, two thumbs up. Yeah, folks, you can save up to 10% on your purchase from YakDaddy.net on a slider. And that's definitely a cool thing. Very, very cool. Save a little money and have some fun with it. Oh, there's some ugly guys on the pro staff there. Mr. Spurlock. Oh, and there's a really ugly guy about two or three down named Mark Wheeler. Oh, man, he's an ugly, ugly dude. But the slider's a great little thing. It's definitely easier on the kids than putting a big... Weymouthdine on the back the crate on the back of the kayak. Yeah, you know, last thing you have to worry about. But alrighty. I think we hit anything else. Greg, Eric, you have anything else to add about taking kids fishing?
No.
Get them out on the water.
Well, yeah. Alright.
Get them out there.
Let me check the chat rooms. One last Buddha is my fishing buddy. Hell yeah. Oh, there's actually a guy in the chat room named Buddha. Never mind. I was going to say something funny, but... And yes, Dan, I got your PM. For anyone that's won anything, your stuff should be out by the end of the week. So, you know what I'm talking about. Not catching. All right, Jeff, Mr. Madre, see you later, sir, from the chat room. You have a wonderful week. So, Greg, you going fishing this weekend?
I am going to try. I have to go to a – I have to learn how to teach Cub Scouts how to shoot things on Saturday.
Nice.
So I'm hoping to get out either Saturday night, Sunday morning, and see what I can catch. So,
and where are you
firm up the plans.
Where are you basically fishing out of?
If I go out Sunday, I was thinking about trying to head out of Manchester Harbor, see how things, see if there's any mackerel still around or if the bluefish have chased them all away by now. But
mackerel are tasty.
Yeah, see if we can, see if I can get a couple of them and see if I can talk a striper into eating one of them.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Cool, man. You're out of New Hampshire, so anyone in New Hampshire or in the New England area, look up Mr. Hammerhead Greg Crisp on yakangler.com. Also, his website, is where you step in,
is yakfish.net.
All right. So, folks, that is Greg Crisp, Hammerhead. Pleasure, man. Absolute pleasure. Love having you on.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, not a problem. All right, Slappy. You going
okay.
to visit this weekend?
Oh, you know it. I've had 2 weekends off, so I got to get in a little striper fishing this weekend. And the bite was really good up until last night, so hopefully I'll be able to find some fish again this weekend. But we got some good sized fish around right now.
All right.
A lot of 20 and 30 pound fish.
Cool, man. And you're fishing out of
Boston Harbor.
Boston
yeah.
Harbor. All right.
Yeah. Get out there and throw some big plastic at them.
All right.
Yeah.
Bubble gum?
No, actually, I'm doing most of it at night, so I'm using a lot of black, or what they call blamber. It's a hoagie color. It's black on the back and amber on the belly, kind of an eel color, and using 13 and 14 inch plastic baits on 3/4 and 1 ounce jig heads.
Wow. Cool, man.
You got to get their attention. Yeah.
All right. So, folks in the chat room, you've got about, I'm going to say 30 seconds to post up your fishing reports if you're going fishing. I'm going to do my shameless plugs with yakangler.com. Folks, go to yakangler.com. I can't stress this enough. A great website. Definitely want to check it out. The ultimate, it is the premier kayak fishing resource. Definitely check them out. Next step, if you're a freshwater fisherman, you definitely want to tune into next week's show. It's going to be all freshwater, all about the big bucket mouth and the smallies and catching perch and crappie and bluegill. We're going to talk about it all. And that leads me into this. Kayak fishing, kayakbassfishing.com is a great freshwater fishing site. Definitely check them out. Hopefully I'll have Chad Hoover on next week, and so we'll see what happens with that.
I got to call. This is Eric Harrison. I'm on Chad Hoover's Kayak Wars team, so I want to call in next week, and we got to get Chad motivated to help his team out.
Yeah, definitely. I got to get Chad lives just down the road from me, so I'll hit him up and get him to. See what happens.
Take him to the water.
Yeah. All right. So what else we have? We have Irish Water Dogs, Brave the Waves Where Giants Tremble. Folks, this is a great website, great group of guys with a really good line of clothing. The Slam Rock is a pretty cool logo. A lot of people are like, oh, that's pretty cool. Definitely check them out at irishwaterdogs.com. Also, nominate your favorite kayak angler for your Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. You can find this at http://surveymonkey.com/S, yes, the letter S, / kayak fishing. Go ahead, folks, get on there, vote for people. You cannot vote for Mark or Adam from YakAngler.com, nor could you vote for Rob of Bad Badcast, who is the host of the Tuesday night A Bad Badcast show at 8 p.m., also on this same channel. The Isaac the Nothing Miller, he hosts the Wednesday night show for the West Coast, the Left Coast. Some say the Best Coast, but that is still up for a discussion. He is on at 7 Eastern, 10 Pacific. Definitely check him out, support him. You cannot vote for me, unfortunately. I know you all want to, but, you know, you just can't. I host this show, the 8 o'clock show on Wednesday night, the Hump Show, the good show. Nor can you vote or nominate Chip Gibson. Anyway, who would want to vote for him anyway? I mean, I know I wouldn't, but you can't do him. And he hosts the main show, the original Thursday Night Kayak Fishing Radio show, on Thursdays again at 8 also, Eastern Standard Time. Check him out tomorrow night. Probably got a good subject matter going on. We always do on that show. So definitely go out and, you know, put in your nominations, folks. And again, that website is the usual beginning. Without the www, it's just http://surveymonkey.com/S/kayakfishing. All right. Also, folks, remember, yakdaddy.net, the home of the slider. Yes, and we are the only kayak fishing radio. Thank you, Chip, for reminding me. Go to the website, check out the slider. I'm going to be sending some pictures in on the website so you can see what the slider looks like out in the water with fish, without fish, and, you know, make a decision on yourself. And you can save 10%, folks. Yes, 10% off your purchase of any of the slider products just by putting in promo code Wheeler. All right, so let's see here. No one's put up any fishing reports. A lot of people saying they'll give the reports for next week. All right. Yes, the kayak fishing fishing radio family is growing. Semper Fi, Stan. He is a fellow devil dog. There are no former Marines, only older ones. So, all right, folks, I guess that ends the show tonight. We're going to kill it with a little bit of Jamaica Bay here. So, folks, again, I am your host, Mark, the Landing Crew Wheeler. Check me out on Facebook. Send me a message. Send me your fishing reports. I'm always here to send them out. Again, folks, this is Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic, and hopefully you get out there, catch a fish, you know, and have a good time. That's what it's all about. Stay safe and tight lines, folks. Good night.